Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
This series really has one goal, and we're going to spend the next several weeks trying to accomplish it together. We want to answer what is probably the most common question that we get as a church. It's a question all our staff gets. It's a question we as a staff even try to figure out ourselves. I've been a Christian now for almost 30 years, and it's a question I still wrestle with from time to time. And so we get asked it all the time. So we thought, let's spend a couple of weeks talking about it. And here's the question. The question is this: how do I hear God's voice? How do I know it's God? How do I hear from Him? How do I get wisdom from Him? How do I get guidance from Him? How do I get instructions from Him? How do I get His opinion? Sometimes, how do I get a second opinion because I don't like what He said the first time? This is the, by far and away, the most common question that we get. But it's not really what most people are asking when they ask the question, how do I hear God's voice? What most people are really asking, and I know I even find myself in this category, what most people tend to really be asking when they say, how do I hear God's voice? What they're really asking is, does God speak? It's not so much how do I hear it, are we sure He's talking at all? Are we sure He's real? And if He is He communicating to us? And the reason we ask it that way is because I'm not going to say this for us today, we're all intelligent people in this room. We're all reasonable, rational people in this room. And here's what we know. Here's what we know as intelligent, reasonable, rational people. We know that if there is a God, and if He is speaking to us, and we can hear what He says, the only reasonable, rational response is to do what He says. Because He is God and we are not. And if there is a being out there, if there is a person, if there is this thing out there and they love us and they want the best for us and they have this great plan for our life, the only reasonable, rational response for an intelligent, reasonable, rational human is to say, well, I want to know what they say. I want to hear from that God. I want to hear from His Son. I want to hear from His Holy Spirit. I want to hear and I want to do what they say, because you want the best for you. You want the best for your friends. You want the best for your family. You want the best for your neighbors. You want the best for your coworkers. You want the best. And so we're really asking, how do I hear God's voice? We're really asking is, hey, does God speak at all? And the danger with that question is that it leaves too many things open. It leaves too much room for interpretation. It leaves too many excuses. It leaves too many back doors. When God says something we don't say, oh, well, that's just not God. I'm not even sure God speaks at all. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to take a slightly different approach. And don't worry, our entire time today, the entire goal of today is just to set you up for this approach. This is a several week series, and so we've got a long way to go together. So I hope you can commit to be here for the next couple of weeks. And I just really believe God has some amazing things to teach all of us. But before we can even get there, we've got to reprogram our minds and reprogram kind of the way we process this idea of, does God speak, and ask a better question. And that begins with making just a decision. A step of belief, a step of faith, a step of understanding, and just taking the idea off the table that God doesn't speak. So my entire goal today is just to convince you the answer to that question is yes, God does speak. God has been speaking to you your entire life. God is speaking to you right now. God will speak to you when you leave, and God is going to speak to you every day of your life, because we have a God that speaks. Now, again, I know you may not agree with that yet, but that's our goal for today. Our goal for today is to help you understand and to kind of refocus and reprioritize kind of the way you think about things, and to help you understand that God is speaking. Because when you decide God speaks, when you accept the fact that He is speaking to us, you begin to ask a better question. And this better question is really the question that I hope drives us for the next few weeks. Instead of saying, does God speak, we begin to ask, do I recognize God's voice? See, when we start with the assumption that God is speaking, we go looking for Him. And we are open to Him, and we learn how to recognize His voice. Now, I know that may be a little confusing, but don't worry. We're gonna make it all make perfect sense today. But to do that, I want to ask you a question that, again, may seem a little interesting, a little strange, but we're going to have a little group activity right here. How many of you took piano lessons as a kid? You got any piano lessons? I'm not looking for keyboardists. Don't worry. You're not going to have to volunteer for anything. I took piano lessons as a kid. I was trying to remember. It was either 2 or 3 years. I never got any better because I never practiced at all. I wasn't very good at it. But I took piano lessons as a kid. And so there are actually a few things I still remember from my piano lessons. And one of the big things I remember from my piano lessons is this note. And it's called middle C. And if any of you took piano as well, you know about middle C. You know that middle C is the most important note on the keyboard. You know that middle C is the root of this chord, which is a C major chord. And that middle C begins and ends something that we call an octave. It's 8 notes, and it goes like this. It goes... That was the extent of my showing off with piano. So middle C and C major chord, that is, you're about to see something really cool happen right here. Like that. So this C major chord here is the root of pretty much all the music you grew up listening to and I grew up listening to. C major is the most common key of all music. And I point all that out to you because some of you know that. You know it's called C major and you understand it. But every single person of in this room knows C major, knows the C scale without realizing it. And you know when it sounds right. Like that, and you know when it sounds wrong. Now, it doesn't take a musical genius to know that, but let me show you something. How many of your heads are about to explode? Right? You're like, no, play the last note, play the last note. Now, there. Is that better? There. Now, here's the funny thing. There were some of you in the room who needed that note. You didn't know why. You know nothing about music. You know nothing about theory. You just knew if I didn't play that note, your head was, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. And it's because you have heard this music your entire life. So in effect, your ears have been tuned to middle C. Your entire life. It's not natural. People who grow up in other cultures have different scales, are tuned to different things, but most of us in this room, you were born in the Western culture, and your ears have been tuned to middle C. You've been tuned to this scale. It's why when you watch American Idol, it's why when you watch The Voice, you can hear that some people sound better than others. Now, you may not be able to technically describe it. Others of you have become your own judges at home, and you start critiquing people. That was great. That was a little pitchy dog. Like, you kind of, you know, it's why when you're at a sporting event, somebody sings the national anthem. Like, when it starts, sometimes your soul goes, this is going to be good. And sometimes your soul goes, this is going to be a bumpy ride, you know? And you don't have to know anything about music to know when it sounds right and when it sounds wrong, to know when it feels like this and when it feels like this. And it's because you have been tuned, your ears have been tuned to middle C. Now, what in the world does that have to do with hearing from God? My answer is everything. Because just like we can naturally hear when music sounds right and music sounds wrong because we have been tuned to middle C, our ears have been tuned, I believe our hearts and our souls have been tuned as well. And they have been tuned to the voice of God and to his message to us, which is why there are times and places where our soul finds rest, our soul finds peace, our soul finds hope, and we couldn't label it, and we can't recognize it until we're done today. But that is God speaking. Now, to help you understand why I'm going to say that, I want to turn to two men very quickly. One man was writing and living under the in the Old Testament. Old Testament, if you're not familiar with the Christian Bible, the Old Testament is the first kind of two-thirds of our Bible. It tells the story of God creating heaven and earth. Tells the story of, unfortunately, us inviting sin into the world and God beginning his rescue mission through the nation of Israel. And the man we're going to look at today is a guy named David. David was the king of the nation of Israel at one point. He was called a man after God's own heart. He had a great relationship with God, and he wrote different prayers and different songs that he would sing to God, and that he would pray to God. We call it the book of Psalms, and we can read those. And in Psalms chapter 19, David kind of taps into what I'm talking about and begins to help us understand how our souls have been tuned to hear God without us even realizing it. And here's what he says in Psalm 19. He says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known." Now, what David is doing is David is beginning to clarify for me and for you and for all of us this idea of how our souls have been tuned to hear God. And he does it in an interesting way. He talks about nature. He says, "The heavens proclaim the glories of God. The skies display his craftsmanship." Now, you may not have ever said it that way, but you have been stopped in your tracks by a sunset. You have made your way to the ocean early enough to watch the sun rise. You have watched it set over the waterway. You've been down to the inlet and you've seen it over the marsh. That has happened to you. And when you saw that, you were moved. You were in awe. And you didn't really know why. You just sat there and thought, "This feels right. This feels good." The kids are like, "Let's go." And you're like, "No, we're not leaving because this is awesome." And they're like, "What's awesome?" And you're like, "Y'all just shut up." And so, you know, it's just me. That's only my family. But you've been moved. You've been awed by that moment. You've been moved and awed by nature. I have friends here at the beach who they say they have to go see the ocean every day. They don't know why they just have to go see it. It just makes them feel better. Well, David is explaining why it makes them feel better. Because God is speaking through his creation. God is speaking to our souls, and our souls long for it, and our souls need it because they've been tuned to hear from him. Because he has been speaking through those things and in those ways for our entire lives. But not just because David says so. In the New Testament, this man named Paul picks up where David left off. And if you're new to our church, we talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because he wrote about half of what we call the New Testament, which tells the story of Jesus' birth, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the spread of the early church. Paul was a leader of the early church, and Paul was kind of an instructor for a lot of Christians. He was kind of a coach for a lot of different pastors, and he would write them letters to give them instructions on how to lead their churches and how to kind of grow in the faith. And we have these letters almost 2,000 years later because we believe God was speaking through Paul when he wrote these letters. And when Paul began his longest letter, his letter to the church at Rome, a church he had actually never visited, that he was trying to make sure they understood all that God did and all that God had done and who God was, he picks up right where David left off. And here's what he says about how God speaks. "For ever since the world was created, ever since the beginning of time, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature." What he's saying is, you've seen the sky, you've seen the Grand Canyon, you've seen mountain ranges, you've seen all these things, you've been moved by these things, you've been awed by these things. The reason you were awed is because you discovered God there. Now, you may not have known you discovered God. You didn't know how to label it that, just like you don't know why the singer sounds wrong. But the singer sounds wrong because your ear has been tuned to middle C. The reason nature moves you, David would say, and the reason nature moves you Paul would say, the reason you feel comfort at the ocean, the reason the Grand Canyon just fills you with awe, the reason a sunset settles your soul, the reason that that majesty and that beauty moves you and soothes you and sometimes comforts you, the reason sometimes you say, I just need to get some fresh air, you need to get outside in nature, maybe you have a place at the mountains that you like to go, and it's a way place to get away and to replenish and to reflect and to learn and to grow, whatever it is that you are finding in nature, whatever it is you are finding out there that in some way stirs you and in some way comforts you and in some way replenishes your soul. What David is saying and what Paul is saying is that's because your souls have been tuned to the voice of God. And so when you are places where the voice of God is revealed, it makes you feel better. And you don't even have to know anything about God to feel that. And you don't even have to know anything about God to understand that, because He has been speaking to you your entire life. And not in just some open, wide way, in a very specific, very clear way. Because just like our ears are tuned to middle C, our souls are also tuned to a middle C. Our souls are tuned to one person. Our souls are tuned to one message, and He is the root, He is the core of everything God has ever said, ever will say, and ever wants us to know, and His name is Jesus. He is the one speaking to you through creation. He is the one giving you clarity and guidance and sustaining your soul, because He is God's message. And one of His best friends so clearly understood and so clearly articulated this point for us that I want to take you, as we kind of wrap up today, I want to take you to his biography of Jesus' life. This guy's name is John, and he was one of Jesus' closest friends on earth, and he wrote one of the four biographies we have of Jesus' life. And he begins his biography a little differently. He begins it with a prologue. Now, a little church history here. We know John wrote his biography fourth. We believe Mark probably wrote his biography first, the Gospel of Mark. We believe then Matthew, who had been an eyewitness, wrote his account, kind of used Mark and kind of added some. And then we believe Luke, who was a historian, kind of took what Mark had written, and he had Matthew over here as well. And he kind of filled it in from some interviews he had made and some people he had talked about. So we had three biographies of Jesus' life, and then some time passes. And John, at the end of his life, is like, you know what, there's one more I want to give him. Because as John tells us at the end of his biography, if they tried to write down everything Jesus did, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. So it's as if John said, man, that's a really good start, but there's more Jesus did, so I want to give them one biography. We believe God's Holy Spirit was moving through him. And as he begins this story, it's as if he knew what David had said, and it's as if he knew what Paul had said, and it's as if he knew one of the questions that was going to come for the church for the next 2,000 years, because they weren't going to see Jesus face to face, and they weren't going to have those experiences, and they were going to wonder, does he speak? Are we sure he's speaking? How do we recognize it? He begins his biography by picking up where David and where Paul left off, and by so clearly communicating to us, yes, God speaks, and he speaks through his son, which is why when he begins his biography, he begins with these words, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. The Word is Jesus. And he calls Jesus the Word because he wants it to be abundantly clear to everyone who reads and to everyone who will search and to everyone who will follow. Of course God speaks. He speaks through his Word. He speaks through his Son. And then he gives us some qualifications. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, you may say, no, wait a minute. We celebrate Christmas. That means we believe Jesus was born then. Yes, Jesus willfully chose to leave heaven and to be born in a human body. But Christians believe that Jesus is God and has existed for all time. He was in heaven. He decided to give that up for us. He fulfilled his mission, and then he went back. But Jesus is God. He existed with God in the beginning. That's what he says. He was with God. He was God. He existed. So Jesus has been speaking to us for our entire lives. How? Well, John explains. God created everything through him, through Jesus. And nothing was created except through him. Jesus was the performer of creation. He created everything. And here's what that means. Let's keep reading. And the Word gave life to everything that was created. So when you find life in creation, when you find hope in creation, when you find clarity, when you find peace, when you find comfort, what John is saying is, well, of course you do. Of course you do, because God created that for you, and he created it through his Son, his Word. And his Son, all he wants to do is talk to you and to connect with you and to reconnect you with your Heavenly Father. So of course you receive, you see God in his creation. Think about one of the best gifts you've ever gotten. Maybe when you graduated high school, or maybe when you got married, maybe for a great birthday. When you see the gift, what are you reminded of? It's not the gift, it's the giver. It reminds you of them. Oh, grandma gave me that. Yeah, my kids gave me that. Yes, not once in life have you been like, that's a great gift. Where'd you get that? And the person's like, oh, I don't know. It's a great gift. No idea who gave it to me. Because that's what we do with gifts. We understand the giver of the gift. And so that's all John's trying to say here. He's saying, hey, this Word, he created everything. He gave life to everything. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. His creation began to speak. His creation began to move. And then he showed up on the scene and clarified everything. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about Jesus shows up on the scene and clarifies everything. That's not where we're going today. Remember, my goal today was just to simply convince you that God is speaking. And he is. And he's speaking the message of his Son. Which means when you are moved by the beauty of nature, when you are comforted by the power of the waves, when you find peace in your soul just from being outside, looking at a mountain range, listening to a bird sing, the reason that is happening is because your souls have been tuned to that message. And the message is Jesus. It's his beauty. It's his power. It's his majesty. It's his hope. It's his clarity that is comforting your soul. And my goal today is for us to just simply be able to begin to recognize the source, to begin to label that Jesus is there. It's not a beautiful sunset. It's Jesus' sunset that he's given to me. It's not a beautiful mountain range. It's Jesus' mountain range that he's provided for me. And this goes beyond nature, by the way. There are other places, there are other things where our souls are moved. And they are moved because they have been tuned to move there. For example, I have a few rules in my life that I follow no matter what. One of the rules is when I'm on social media and someone shares a video of a soldier coming home from war, I watch the video. That is just a rule. It doesn't matter if I've seen five that day, I'll watch the sixth one. If it is a video of a soul, especially if they're going to like surprise their family in some way. Does anybody move past those videos? No, everybody's like, I want to watch this video. And you watch the video and they pop out of a box or they come around the corner or like they got the kid blindfolded and then they take it off and the kids and the mom or the dad, they see their spouse and they hug and they reconcile. Has anybody ever watched one of those and been like, that was a waste of my time? If you are, see me after because we need to talk. No, most of the time you watch it three times. You're crying your eyes out. You're blubbering. You're like, I need a minute. That was so beautiful. But have you ever thought about why that moves you? You don't know those people. You don't know that mom or that dad who's just come home. You don't know know those kids. And yes, you could just tell yourself, yes, but I am such a good person that I can empathize with them and I could put myself in their shoes and I know how I would feel. Okay, maybe. Or you could just recognize that our hearts are tuned to the middle C of Jesus. And Jesus is all about homecoming. And Jesus is all about reconciliation. And Jesus is all about reconnecting what has been disconnected. And maybe, just maybe, the reason those reconnection stories move our soul is because it's tapping into something we all know we need and we all desire. And Jesus is speaking through that moment, saying, that's right, that homecoming is available for you as well. Just maybe. Anybody ever been in a bad mood, a bad afternoon, and you just decide to curl up on the couch and watch a feel-good movie? Also called the Hallmark Channel, but a feel-good movie. Have you ever thought about why those movies make you feel good? Do you think it's because at the end of all those movies, they celebrate the virtues of love so strong that it can forgive? Love so strong, it can reconcile. Love so strong, it can overcome. Love so strong, it's willing to lay down its life for another. Could it be the reason those movies make you feel so good is because deep within it is an eternal truth? I don't mean they wrote it for this. I mean God is speaking through it. He gives light to everything. He gives life to everyone. Could it be that even in those moments, those things that move our soul, the things we hear in the news, the act of heroism, the stories we see of astonishing generosity, that we look at and we just go, wow, that's great. What if we simply decided to recognize that for what it is? One of our Savior's values, one of our Savior's virtues, one of our Savior's attributes being communicated to us through his creation in an effort to connect with our soul. A soul, by the way, that has been tuned to middle C. Him. Jesus. Now, you don't have to make that choice. You can just choose to believe you like the homecoming videos because you're a great person. You can choose to believe you like those movies because they make you feel good, or because all these other people, they just had great ideas, and to make it all Jesus is to take away from other people, and humanity doesn't need Jesus. Jesus is great. Look, I understand all the arguments. So let me just show you how this played out when Jesus came. Because we have a choice to make, and make no mistake, it is a choice. A couple of verses later, John explains. He, talking about Jesus, he came into the very world he created, the very world he had been speaking to, the very world that was tuned to his message, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. They didn't recognize him. We can choose not to recognize him. We can choose to elevate ourselves. That's what Jesus is. That's what the people in the first century had done. They had decided that they didn't need Jesus. They were smarter than Jesus. Because when Jesus came, he didn't do exactly what they wanted him to do. He didn't fit into their preconceived notions of what a God should be. So they decided, we don't like your message. We're going to take ours instead. So they began running away from the very thing their souls were tuned to listen to. Their souls were tuned to need. And we can do that. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about that. Because for every source out there where we can find Jesus, there's five fake ones that wants to steal your life. For every place where your soul finds true satisfaction, there's a ton of fakes that sell satisfaction for a day and causes pain for tomorrow. So please don't hear me say, Jesus is everywhere, God is everywhere. That is in no way what I'm saying. I am saying, anywhere you do find the hope of Jesus, anywhere your soul is stirred to become more like Jesus, Anywhere you find the peace and hope that comes from him, you find it because he put it there. And you find it because he's speaking to you through that. And if you choose to open your eyes, and if you choose to recognize that, and if you choose to begin spending your life looking and searching for the moments and the places that give you hope and give you joy and spur you to acts of love and acts of generosity and acts of hope, then rather than elevating that person or elevating that artist or elevating that, if you can begin to train yourself and say, no, those are fine people, but my Savior is speaking through them. I am moved by this because Jesus says this. I am moved by this because Jesus wants this for me. I am moved by this because this is what my Heavenly Father has been speaking over my life since I was born. And even though I don't 100% know it, I feel it in my soul. And when we do that, this is what we are offered. But Some people didn't recognize, some people rejected. But to all who believed and to all who accepted, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who looked and to all who recognized, my God is speaking to me. My God wants to connect with me. My God wants better for me. To all who chose to accept that, to all who chose to believe that, he gave the right to be children of God. This is where we're going to pick up next week. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I need more clarity than a sunset can provide. When we believe, when we accept, we get the right to become children of God. Perfect communication, perfect connection, clarity, guidance, wisdom. It is all fully, finally, and freely available to us. But that's next week. Today I had one goal. To open your eyes to the fact that our gracious, loving Heavenly Father has been communicating with you since the moment you were born. He has been revealing his power. He has been revealing his majesty. He has been stirring your heart with acts that remind you of his love and acts that remind you of his generosity and his forgiveness and his compassion. And as you drive down the road this week, as you look at the ocean, as you feel yourself stirred, as you feel yourself moved, I am encouraging you to ask a better question. To spend this week recognizing that something is happening. Because we all want to know the answer to this question. How do I hear God's voice? We all want it. And we all start with the same idea. Does God speak? Hopefully today has opened your eyes to the fact that of course he does. He is speaking to you every single moment of every single day. And my prayer for you and my prayer for everyone watching online, my prayer for all of us is that we will leave here and we will pray and we will open our eyes and open our hearts and ask God to speak clearly to us, to speak clearly through us, to teach us to ask a better question. Do I recognize God's voice? Can I see it in the sunset? Can I feel it in the waves? When I am moved by that video, can I identify that what I am moved by is the promise of perfect love. The promise of reconciliation. The promise of a love that gives rather than seeking to receive. Those are the truths that move our hearts. Those are the truths that stir us. Those are the truths that satisfy our soul. And the reason they do is because our souls have been tuned to listen. Our souls have been tuned to long for it. Because our souls have been built on one man, one note, the middle C of our soul, and his name is Jesus. My prayer for you this week is that every single time your soul is stirred, you don't have to search, but you recognize. Oh, yeah. That's my Savior. I can recognize that. And he's speaking to me. Let me pray. God, we just love you so much. We thank you for this journey you're going to take us on for the next month. God, I just pray today that you just give us all clarity, give us all the ability to hear from you, the ability to understand that you have been speaking to us through your creation and through your truth for our entire lives. And God, our souls know it. Our souls are stirred by it. Father, this week, just give us the ability to recognize it. Give us the ability to label it for what it is and for who you are. Father, I pray you bring us all back next week as we continue this journey together to learn how we can begin to recognize your voice and communicate with you and have that clarity and that connection that we have all desired our entire lives. We thank you that you provided it, and we thank you that you're going to walk us through how we live in it every single day. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.